This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
In other news, the Prime Minister of Sweden visited Washington today, and my tiny little nipples went to France.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor. Well, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I want to party with you, cowboy. If the two of us together, forget it.
The Fan.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Monday. Thanks for being with us. Portland sports leader 1080 The Fan. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about this take, but I got a take I'm going to give to you. Why doesn't the NBA play day games?
I think they would really struggle with drawing people.
Well, Major League Baseball can do it.
Yeah, and a lot of stadiums are very empty.
Well, sure, there's a lot of NBA stadiums that are empty at night.
Summertime.
Yeah, you guys double the NBA in games, though.
You guys are like, am I just the baseball representative
baseball
on the show?
Right now. Okay, yeah. I'm kind of turning this into...
I'm not acting like you do it 30 times a year. I'm not saying that, but like throw a random one in on a Tuesday.
If Portland had a Tuesday game that started at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 Eastern, how many people would show up?
The same number as a night game, I guarantee it.
Really?
No,
it blows me away.
I do not think that.
When I was on my, like, I do this occasionally, and it blows me away, because whenever you come to work, and we don't even work normal hours. We come in and we go, like, we're not here 9 to 5, 8 to 5, or 7 to for whatever the normal hours are for people.
Speak for yourself.
But like on the staycation, I was driving around one afternoon at like 1 o'clock, and I just thought to myself, there's a lot of people out and about right now.
I think you'd have to do it during the holidays, like not specifically on Christmas or New Year's, but in that stretch where there's a lot of people out of work.
Winter break, yeah.
55305, if the Blazers played day games, would you go to them?
I just don't think that's as easy.
I also think because so much of their ticket base is season ticket holders, and a lot of that is now corporate, I don't think a lot of them would get there.
See, and that's the interesting part is I know people who have that kind of situation, like baseball parks, and again, it's outdoors, so I get it. Summertime, maybe you're more lax in the summer. I don't know, but like they would love taking. I remember somebody who worked in San Francisco, and they had tickets to Giants games, like company tickets. They love taking clients to day games.
See,
and
they
just all go day drink.
But I think
as a business venture,
an allure though to sitting out in the sun, summertime, like
patio
getting away.
Beers are nice.
I don't.
Sure, patio beers are great. We love to walk
but
down the road
thing.
And have a beer
right,
in the summertime.
I don't think it's the same situation in the NBA. The NBA is so geared itself up to have this nightclub.
It's a
feel.
Cocktail party.
That it just, I don't think you can replicate it. I mean, you get a Sunday afternoon game every once in a while that's kind of fun. In the playoffs, you see it.
Yeah, what about weekends? Is that different for you guys? Like a 1 o'clock type on a weekend?
I love when they do Sunday games.
Yeah.
But even those aren't like, they rarely do it before like 5 o'clock, right?
I went to one, I don't remember.
Well, unless you get that ABC 12:30.
I can't remember the exact time. I don't even know why it happened, but there was a game I went to years ago when Mo Williams was on the Bucks. That's how long ago we're talking. It was during winter break, and me and my buddy got tickets, and it was a far earlier start than I was used to, and it was on a Sunday.
It was great for a weekend.
And we went, and yeah. I was like, oh, this is kind of perfect. I can't remember. It might have been a makeup game or something, but I don't think it's not the same. I think you guys have the summertime.
But no, on a random Wednesday.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's something, you know, unless the Lakers are here, I don't think you're going to draw.
Interesting. Yeah, I disagree with that. I do. But we have a couple people saying, yeah, I got two young kids, basically can't go to games because they're always on too late. get over too late. Yeah. They're ready for bed by tip-off. I would go to day games, no doubt. A couple of people saying, hell no, I wouldn't go. Somebody said, I wouldn't go to a night game, so why would I go to a day game?
If you went winter break route, you could easily give bundles of tickets to schools and give them to students.
Right, do a couple during December or something.
You could give corporate sponsors, you could say, hey, for this specific game, take a day off, bring your employees in, a client, whatever. Those you could arrange. You could arrange to do a game. I think if you went baseball route, you would find
You couldn't do it widespread. And baseball, to be fair, doesn't do it. I mean, they do weekend day games, and then there's a getaway day.
Well, there's getaway days a lot, where you have to start early so they can travel and get to the next place.
And then every weekend game in Major League Baseball outside of Sunday night baseball is not that's too much, but largely day
all the games on Sunday, except Texas has an exemption because of the heat in the summer, so they can play Sunday night games because it's so hot. There's somewhere else that has that too.
Well, also, I don't want to lose a day off for me in the middle of winter. I'd much rather it be summer. So if I'm going to a day game, I'd rather go to a baseball day game because I want to be in the sun.
Sure.
So I think there's that
they're
part
all
of it
day.
Too.
I mean, still NBA games are. It's still a 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah. All right, hey, just an idea. I always think that every year because they have games on all day today for MLK Day.
Yeah.
We're watching Toronto and Atlanta, a thrilling showdown coming down to the final minutes. I don't know. A lot of people there. I know, granted, holiday. I get it. So people aren't working necessarily, but
you're in Atlanta too.
That's true.
You're in Atlanta.
That is very true. Going from the NBA to college hoops, how about Peyton Pritchard, man? That was pretty awesome
that
on
was
Saturday.
Insane.
Just a guy who's not only making his point of potentially being a player of the year finalist, but not caring, but kind of like shouldering a lot of the responsibility.
He's carrying, though.
That's not fair.
They were awful on Saturday.
They had no business winning that game.
No, they didn't.
Terrible.
But I don't want to say he's carrying them through the year. That's not fair to me. But he, in that game, was a monster. And I couldn't believe they won that game. I know the deficit wasn't the biggest deficit?
18 was the biggest.
And I remember looking at that and I was like, oh my God, UW's running them. And I kept checking in on it. And then eventually I said, I got to watch the end of this game. And you watch the end of that. And that step back three as he hit with the shot clock expiring to ice it for him basically is... That's the difference between a Peyton Pritchard and a Trace Tinkle. Trace Tinkle is an amazing player himself. Peyton Pritchard carried the team, picked them all up, and said, we're not losing this game. Oregon State got pummeled by Washington State and Pullman.
Yeah, it was a rough weekend for the Beavs. It was nearly a rough weekend for Oregon as well because they played like crap Thursday night, lost to the Cougs, got off to a bad start. And then you go into Seattle and you're playing a team that's kind of trying to find their footing right now. And, I mean, they were just atrocious for the first, 30 minutes of that game.
Yeah, and you Washington, right, Colorado beat them. Mm-hmm. Arizona, they very well could have lost. Mm-hmm. They've had some games here. Washington State, they've had, like, almost 4 losses in conference play thus far. So I understand some Duck fans who might be kind of wondering, hey, are we gonna kinda turn this around a little bit? But there's a huge difference between almost a bad weekend for a team and actually having a bad weekend as a team.
And improving to 4-2 in conference play. That was one of the more impressive performances I can remember in a long time for Oregon. To do it against Washington, right? To hit the shots that he did down the stretch.
8-0 in Seattle. He's never lost in Seattle. Never lost. That's why he said he owns this.
Yeah, well, that makes sense then. I didn't quite realize that because it did. There were some fans that were not happy about that because they immediately pointed out that they lost to Washington State and Gonzaga. So how can you own the state if you lost to 2 of the other 3 teams at the state?
Yeah.
So he must have been, if he's never lost in Seattle, it makes
a lot more
sense.
Aren't we nitpicking? I mean, at the end of the day, you're more mad that Oregon won the game, so you're trying to nitpick. Like, we all know what he meant. He owns the Huskies in Seattle. That's a fact. They've never lost.
Yeah, it was an incredible performance. I'm with you, though. Like, my sentiment is largely, this is not sustainable. Like, you can't play like S for 30 minutes and dig yourself out of holes because you have one of the best players in the country over and over and over again if you want to reach the heights that they want to reach.
Sure.
And there's 3 of these now because you think back, their first kind of big, quote-unquote, big game of the year was against Seton Hall in that tournament down in the Bahamas. They were down by double digits in the second half. They didn't look that good. All of a sudden, they got hot, hit some shots, came back, ended up winning it in overtime. You pointed out the Arizona game.
I still don't know how they won that game.
Right? They came back towards the end of the first half, but they got off to a really bad start. There were stretches of it. You're just like, what the hell's going on here? And then they somehow pulled out. Pritchard makes some plays late. Other guys make some shots, and you find a way to win. And then this one, I mean, that was a terrible performance for 30 or so minutes. And then all of a sudden, Washington goes ice cold from the floor. They stopped feeding the ball to Stewart on every single play because Oregon couldn't stop him, and he was knocking down all his free throws. He had 25 points and 19 rebounds.
That kid is a
monster. He's a monster,
beast.
Man. They stopped going to him. They couldn't make shots. Pritchard gets hot, and a couple other guys get it going kind of in the paint and stuff. Lawson had a really good game. They started to poke some holes in that zone a little bit with him around the free throw line. But that, I mean, that's just not sustainable. So that's that was my takeaway of the weekend. As nice as it always is to beat Washington, you just got to play more consistent. And they need another guy to be a scorer. And I don't know. Richardson's too, you know, on and off. Walker's a freshman, so you can't, you know, some of your other guys are big guys. They need some. Mathis has been ice cold as of late. They need somebody else to be a scorer just to take the pressure off him.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it every night. But you alluded to the difference between the two senior players. Pritchard getting it done this weekend, at least with one win. Trace Tinkle not. They honored Klay Thompson on was it Saturday or Sunday?
It was Saturday.
Saturday.
They retired his jersey.
They honored Klay Thompson, retired his jersey. He was partying it up at the Coug. Coug fans were loving it. But
he had his flip phone with him. Did you see that?
He did. He had his flip phone with him. That was awesome. But it was not a good weekend for Oregon State when they needed some wins, and they trailed basically throughout against Washington. And then Wazoo, who all of a sudden looks pretty damn tough to beat, beat you by 13.
Well, we'll give Washington State a lot of credit for a great weekend themselves, having a 2-0 stand at home against a really good Oregon team and a fighting Oregon State team. Look, they're getting awfully close because of their resume. They're getting awfully close to you have to win the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah.
Stuff.
You depending know what I mean? Like, on how the next
they're
week
still
goes
a couple.
Or,
I think they're 2 weeks away. They're two game sets away, and then we'll see where at that point. And then it's going to be really big gut check time because right now they're coming home at 12-6.
12-6, 2-4 in conference. They got UCLA
and
USC this week.
Nobody has any faith in that fan base that they're going to suddenly be this great tournament team. And you go look at the mentions after they tweeted just final Oregon State 76, Washington State 89. Fire Tinkle, this is over. Oh, hey, more inconsistency. You've already lost your fan base to the women's program, and no offense, but you should. Women's team is remarkable. They're top 10. They're seventh now, and they fight, and they come close to beating dominant national college programs and playing really well in conference play, but you're already there with the fan base. I don't know what it's going to take for them to turn it around, but dear God, having an 0-2 weekend is the worst thing that could happen to you.
That was rough, especially after dropping the way they did against ASU. Bouncing back with a win over Arizona, you're hoping it's one of those tide-turning wins. They lose to Washington, lose to Washington State. You mentioned the next couple weeks, they go UCLA, USC at home, so that's for both Oregon and Oregon State, obviously, just flipped. So UCLA, USC this weekend.
And then Cal Stanford.
And then they're on the road in the Bay Area before the Civil War on February 8th. The first Civil War will be in Corvallis.
I mean, I hope to be wrong on this, but they could be going into that Civil War 1-3.
Yeah, depending
there's
on the next
a very
four.
Good chance.
UCLA sucks, though, right?
Well, UCLA might suck.
Cal's awful.
Cal's awful.
Are we
UCLA,
confident?
UCLA, yes, no, Cal's awful.
Okay, wow. Every time Oregon State's confidence when they usually lose games. So.
And then UCLA just isn't all on the Mick Cronin's first year. There's talent there, but they have not gotten on the same page yet.
He's ripped him a couple of times post-game I've seen, too. He's had some of those fiery press conferences.
Yeah, they are not interested in playing defense as a group. So if you can get up on them early and build a lead, they will fold.
That's a must-win for Oregon State, though. Thursday, they got to beat UCLA. Maybe you can, you know, parlay it into an undefeated weekend with USC in town. So got to get that momentum going. But there's your college hoops recap of the weekend. By the way, one other note, we're going to keep an eye on this. Might do some stuff with it later on in the week. We're still trying to plan everything out. It is a Civil War week in the women's side of things. Top 10 matchup. What's Oregon and Oregon State ranked right now?
Seventh and...
Oregon is fourth.
Oregon fourth, so 4-7 this weekend. And it's in Corvallis, right? First one in Corvallis, or is it in Eugene? Because we were talking about that before the show. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's going to be a really fun game on Sunday between Oregon and Oregon State. Two top 10 teams, man. That's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, because they play USC on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's at Oregon State.
At
so
Oregon
it's
State.
Sunday, okay.
1 p.m. tip.
1 p.m., man. That's going to be a fun one. So if you're looking for something to cheer for, Oregon State hoop fans, of course, you got the ladies who are in the top 10, and it's going to be a fun one down there in Corvallis. Let's get back into the NFC and AFC title games. A couple of leftover notes that we haven't got to yet, including Aaron Rodgers. Now everybody's questioning his legacy. We haven't talked about Rob Lowe and his hat yet. Also, some DBs are beefing. Some leftover notes from the weekend that was in the AFC and NFC next on The Fan. Two more quick hoop notes to get to. One, we are idiots. They play both this weekend. So Friday, they're in Eugene. Sunday, they're in Corvallis. So they play both. That's a little back-to-backer. I like that.
I like that, too.
The men should do that. Why don't the men do that? That'd be fun. Because they play one, and then they wait a couple weeks and then play the other one. I like having a little double dip in the weekend. One here, one there. Huh? Back-to-backer? No?
Oh, it's because the women have one fewer week in the schedule because their conference tournament is the week before the men.
Okay.
Well, now, when the men go to 20 conference games next year, they might do that.
Oh, okay. I am in favor of that. I vote yay. And,
it'd be cool to double dip like that, like a Friday night. You go down to the game and you come back Sunday.
Both? Absolutely, it would be. So that's pretty kick-ass. One other note, too, that I wanted to, because I took note of this weekend. How about the local high school kids torching Oregon schools? So you have, was it Bonton? Is that his name?
Bonton.
Bonton, who plays at Washington State from?
Park Rose. He went to like Montana Central or Tech or some random college out of high school. And I was like, I had heard good things about him.
Sure.
And I thought, okay, this kind of sucks. It's not where he probably wanted to go. Then he went to the JC route. He killed in JC. And then I saw it over the summer that he was, well, now he's obviously a Cougar, but yeah, how about him? He had like, what, 34?
34 points, man.
God.
Yeah, that was pretty kick-ass. So that happens in the Oregon State game. And then is it Sahonis? Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, Marcus Sahonis.
The kid from Jeff. Man. He was the only other guy they had outside of Stewart that they had in double figures. He ended up playing basically the entire second half.
Well, they were going to redshirt him, but then when Quade Green was ineligible, didn't make grades.
That just happened, too.
Burned his redshirt, and he came in like a house of fire. I don't think he's cut his hair since either.
He's got a good, it's a good looking haircut, man. I like it.
That's all over the place there.
Good looking
so,
dude.
Yeah, they ended up deciding to burn his redshirt, and that might be the decision that saves the season for Mike Hopkins after Quade Green went down.
So it always sucks to see him go out of the state of Oregon, but very cool to see them succeeding. A couple of local high school products having really good weekends against Oregon and Oregon State. We have, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
a DB beef.
We got
a DB beef.
A who?
A DB beef.
DB?
Defensive back beef,
oh,
man.
Those DBs.
So this was like the most.
What other DB would there be?
I don't know.
DB Cooper.
Are you okay?
DB Cooper. Yeah, it's a Monday. Oh, okay. This came out of complete left field. I don't know why there was need to send this, but apparently Darrell Revis is sitting around saying, I'm on my island, and I feel like being salty right now. So Richard Sherman, he did get burned once yesterday in that game, and then he made up for it with the pick that basically sealed it when they're up by 17. Rodgers threw essentially a Hail Mary, and he chased it down and had an interception. He's had a tremendous year, gambled on himself. It's all worked out for him, and he's heading back to the Super Bowl. But yesterday, instead of tweeting compliments to him, Darrell Revis felt the need to send this out. My ninth year. Oh, no, wait, excuse me. That was the rebuttal to Richard Sherman. Sorry, hold on. He took a picture of Richard Sherman getting burned, and he said, fear of getting beat in man-to-man coverage every snap, every play. The fact he doesn't travel as a cornerback is lame. Accept the challenge as the best and shut Adams down the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding a cover three zone.
Mm.
So that got about 2,000 retweets. Richard Sherman saw this, okay, I can't even find the initial one. He tweeted a bunch yesterday. Oh, he said, if I would go in on this has-been, but I have a Super Bowl to prepare for. Enjoy the view from the couch. Your ninth year looked a lot different than this. LMAO. DB beef, whose side are we on here?
We're on Richard Sherman's. I have two questions. Does he think Sherman's calling the defense?
Well, I bet you what he would say is he did this in Seattle. He's doing it in San Francisco. There's no doubt Richard Sherman's having a say in the kind of coverage they have. I bet you that's where he's coming from.
Well, maybe.
Whether that's true or not, you'd have to ask the coaching staff.
I'm guessing there's some calls and sets that apply to the entire defense that he's got to work within. It's not like he's just Dion, who pretty much did whatever he wanted to do.
By the way, they highlighted it on the broadcast. He followed Devontae Adams a little bit.
He didn't do it all game.
On some plays and didn't on other, which means I'm assuming that was based on the defensive call where they wanted him. I don't know where that comes from, quite frankly.
Yeah, these critiques always crack me up because he dealt with this a lot in Seattle too. Of when he wouldn't follow the elite guy. Everybody said, how can you be the best corner in the game if you don't follow the number one wide receiver the entire game? And it's like, if it works in the scheme and he's playing for a dominant defense, why? What's the
and
argument?
Nobody, people barely threw at him when he was nobody in
ever
Seattle.
Nobody ever tests him.
Well, he's got, I mean, his passer rating against him in the playoffs is 41, which is
god
awful. I've had two opinions on this. I used to have the opinion of, I always want my best cover guy to follow their best playmaker. I was okay with that. I understood where defensive backs who would chime in on this topic, I understood where they were coming from, right? The Patrick Peterson model. Follow him everywhere. You're big. You're a great athlete. And let's go head to head. I've since kind of, you know, you talk to people that are around football and know it more than you, and you kind of just age a little bit. I'm at a point now where I respect it so much that I'm done questioning anything. The fact that he doesn't have to follow, that Richard Sherman can be on one side of the field and the other team respects him so much that they don't even put the wide receiver on him to go one-on-one.
Right, you got
to
hide him.
Kind of tells me all I need to know, right? Like if Devontae Adams, let's just use him since they played. If Richard Sherman followed him three total plays, but then mainly stayed to his side, but Devontae Adams lined up on the opposite of Richard Sherman, what is that telling you? Is that telling you that Richard Sherman's a coward or that Green Bay knows not to want to mess with Richard Sherman?
Right. Why doesn't anybody call Green Bay cowards for not wanting to line him up on Richard Sherman?
Also, if you have a DB that doesn't travel and stays to one side of the field, you're also cutting the field in half for your defense.
Makes it easier to defend.
You're like, oh, Richard's over there. We don't have to worry about it. We have only X amount of yards to execute a play here. Let's go out there and do it. To me, this just reeks of ego and jealousy, where Revis, who I don't think we should take anything from his career, Revis Island was a real thing, and he's going to go down as one of the all-time great cover corners. It smells to me of a guy who wishes he was still being able to be in the league, and watching an older player come back from a major injury and still be able to be a highly productive individual, that's all it is to me. DBs and wide receivers, the two biggest diva positions you have in sports, and they always seem to do this mirror imaging of, I'm going to hate on this other guy in my position. I don't understand it, and if he's at a place where he feels that small inside and insecure, then go ahead and tweet your opinions of Richard Sherman, but Richard Sherman is getting the last laugh. He's playing longer than you. He's an all-pro. He's in a Super Bowl again.
Yeah, he's already won one and been to two. Now he's going to his third.
Who's the better corner? All-time, you're probably going to say Richard Sherman, so I think he comes from that place. He could play so of sadness and wishing he could change things.
Yeah, it's unique, too, because the longevity angle is one that I think plays into this a little bit. And I think the immediate impact is, as you mentioned, only having to defend half the field because you trust Richard Sherman on one side. And they're going to have that benefit in the Super Bowl. And quarterbacks go into games against Sherman knowing that side of the field is going to be on lockdown. I remember Kirk Cousins, either before or after the game, basically saying, I'm only throwing there out of like disaster. Like, I'm only going to that side of the field if I absolutely need to. And he finally did in the third quarter. And what happened? Richard Sherman picked him off and he ran the route for Adam Thielen. Quarterbacks don't often attack that side. So it enables you to cut the field in half. But the other thing, too, I do think there's something to be said for the longevity and keeping a guy fresh throughout the course of a season and throughout the course of a game by not having him chase around a wide receiver the entire game and running back and forth depending on where he's lined up and waiting to see where he's going to go, of just allowing him to play inside the scheme defensively. That speaks to him still being at a very high level despite the injuries and despite the number of snaps that he's played. So I don't quite get that. If you don't think Richard Sherman's the best corner of all time because he didn't follow somebody, like, I'm not going to knock that opinion. But aren't we done, like, trying to criticize this guy? Like, this has been around for years with Richard Sherman. Well, yeah. How many times do we need to see him have a dominant opponent QBR? How many times do we need to see him with interceptions in the playoffs, question him coming back from an injury? Like, I get people that don't like Richard Sherman. He's a loudmouth, and, you know, I understand that angle. But to question him as a corner just because he doesn't follow guys, that argument's always fallen deaf ears with me.
Well, yeah, it's like people can't separate a lot. That's really hard for human beings to do. And it doesn't matter what age you are. Like, if you don't like somebody, you tend not to give them the respect that maybe they deserve. So I'll give you an example here. I despise Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's one of the more overrated leaders. I think he is a very selfish individual, and I don't think he's very accountable. I can't knock Ben Roethlisberger all time and act like he didn't have an amazing career and threw a ton of yards and touchdowns, right? So there's two different things there. It's me not liking a guy for personality reasons, but there's also me acknowledging that guy is a very, very good football player. Richard Sherman, I think, suffers from this. I think because of the in-your-face, remember the the Super Bowl thing, the 2-4, we're up 24 points, and the Aaron Andrews interview, mm-hmm. and the in your face, you mad bro, Tom Brady stuff. I think everything that he did coming into the league that was in your face and arrogant, you had a lot of people that weren't drawn to him or despised him for that. But there's also people that just, even though they don't like him, they also can't acknowledge that he's great. Like some person texting, he's not good anymore. He gets beat all the time. That's why they hide him in zone. Do you know how many passes he gave up that were 20 plus yards down the field this year? Zero. He gave up one yesterday.
To Devontae Adams.
The first time all year, one pass 20 plus yards. Now you can say it's a zone. He's an all pro. I don't know why we need to go to these lengths to act like somebody's not great. He's not Richard Sherman of 2012,
no,
2013, but
no, he ripped, tore his Achilles.
He's still pretty damn efficient and still pretty good. He's also a really smart football player and can read things. So
he works well in that scheme. Sala was, coming from that Seattle mindset. It works.
I think people come from not being able to separate. They don't like Richard Sherman, the person. So then they bag on Richard Sherman, the player. And the difference is Richard Sherman, the player, is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, the picks were much different, but I did find it interesting that he had the interception to end the game for San Francisco yesterday, picking off Aaron Rodgers up 17. Came exactly 6 years to the day that his tip led to an interception that clinched the NFC title
for
Seattle.
The Malcolm Smith interception,
Smith. So that was kind of an interesting to this day thing for Richard Sherman yesterday. But some DBs are beefing. Darrelle Revis and Richard Sherman going at it yesterday. Rob Lowe is a big fan of the NFL. Also, Aaron Rodgers. Are we blaming this one on him? His legacy? Is he done? Get into that angle a little bit next. Got some poll questions to get to. Early take, how are listeners feeling, San Francisco or Kansas City? I threw that one out last night. We'll see what the results are.
Oh, I just saw the results.
Ooh, we'll update the listeners here in a few moments. I cannot wait, man. Cannot wait. It's the most excited I've been for a Super Bowl.
You weren't excited last year for Rams-Pats?
No, I was, but disappointed because I wanted Kansas City to go.
Mm.
I wanted to rematch
Rams,
that Monday
Chiefs
night game.
Was pretty good.
That
yeah.
was a game of like that. What was it? 52-49, whatever that crazy game was.
That was a great football game,
right? I wanted a rematch of that. There's the fatigue of Tom Brady was sunk in for me, and I'll say this about Mahomes: I love Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of him because I'm terrified he's going to dominate the league for 10 years. And eventually we're going to get there.
In 9 years, right. Dirt's going to be like, are you kidding
God,
me?
No more Mahomes,
nobody
man.
Wants Patrick. And I'm going to play the tape from 9 years prior.
Right.
I'm so happy he's in the Super Bowl.
It's the cycle, man. You know the latest cycle that happened that way for me was Clemson. When they first beat Alabama, didn't we all rejoice? Yes, somebody finally beat Alabama. Clemson was great, and now it's like, dude, would Dabo just go away?
But the problem with that was when they beat Alabama, I'm with you. I was happy, but I also said, is Clemson going to be the new Alabama
Are
now?
Are they the new dominant
and
dynasty?
They seem to be in the playoff every year.
They're not going anywhere. So I'm going to enjoy Mahomes while I can before he becomes an insufferable dominant quarterback in the NFL. Nobody could beat him.
Yeah, there was something I wanted to point out in that last second. Really random, but we were just talking a little bit about the NFL and whatnot. But I wanted to point this out real quick. Give me a second.
Okay.
So I saw this from NBA writer Shane Serrano, who does all the books and stuff for The Ringer. He tweeted somebody, Sage Rosenfels. There it is. Sage Rosenfels, former backup quarterback, tweeted this, 49ers. Head coach, defensive coordinator, O-line coach, special teams coordinator, run game coordinator, two linebackers coaches, and the head equipment manager. All of those people for the 49ers were all on the Houston Texans organization in 2006 through 2008. Now, I know, look, that's so long ago, it'd be easy to go, well, you can't tell at that point. But I think it just shows you sometimes.
Isn't that funny?
Organizations set themselves apart for reasons like that, where this entire Niners staff.
They do.
That helped build this thing and get them to this point where they went from 4 wins last year to Super Bowl this year. Their t-shirt, Mobile to Miami, is awesome for that reason. All of those people were in Houston, and Houston's just sitting here blowing 24-point leads in the postseason.
Here we are. Don't worry. We're keeping Bill O'Brien. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Well, the loss yesterday did, again, bring in the question of Aaron Rodgers. Everybody made fun of his body language. That was the thing during the game. He looked like his puppy died in the first half there. Things weren't going well. He threw a bad pick, and then everybody kind of piled on after the game, including my bookie in a tweet that you decided to tag me on, and then it got me in a back and forth with them. because they tweeted this out. Aaron Rodgers is now 1-3 in NFC Championship games. In those four games, 63% completion percentage, 258 yards per game, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Let's hope we can finally put some of these Rodgers is the GOAT truthers out of their misery.
I just thought it was funny.
I didn't really care or
have an opinion on it. It just was funny. I wanted to tag you.
I understand that we live in the world of hot takes, and I'm going to ask you for a take in a moment that might be hot.
Let me warm the oven up.
Did anybody watch that game yesterday thinking Aaron Rodgers is the problem?
No, but I didn't have faith he was going to be able to come back either.
Well, no, because they couldn't get a stop.
I know. They were
down 27-0. Niners built a 34-7 lead throwing the ball 6 times.
I'm with you. The Seahawk game.
What am I missing here?
The Seahawk game in 2013.
Yes.
That Aaron Rodgers always scared me. No matter what. Always scared me. Now, I know they also coincidentally blew that game.
They
did,
because they couldn't catch an onside kick, and he got blamed for that loss for some reason probably too.
Right. But that Aaron Rodgers terrified me. This Aaron Rodgers didn't.
Well, no, he's 36 years old now. He's not the quarterback he used to be.
That's the difference.
Yeah, I just like that because I saw that from a couple of folks of like throwing shade at Rodgers or, you know,
he's another one that does it to himself. He's very much Richard Sherman. He does things off the field.
Sure.
And people cannot separate their feeling towards him as a person and him as the player.
His defense gave up the most dominant running attack in the history of the NFL in a playoff game.
Yeah, what I would say, I don't have a hot take of like, Aaron Rodgers sucks. He's done. Book it, because in a year I could look like a moron. My take is more this. Aaron Rodgers is clearly not in his prime anymore. He's still a highly, highly
probable successful
type quarterback. But I view it more in the spectrum of he is just aging. This is natural. And their team far overachieved.
They did, yeah.
How many games did they have where they won in a one-score game?
Oh, it was an NFL record. They won 8 games by 1 score or less this year.
Okay, when teams do that, sometimes teams do that and it's just a magical season. A lot of the time, the teams that do that, it's either way overachieving or they end up being what they are. And that's a one and done. A first playoff game and they're done, they're eliminated because they survived a lot of those games that had they lost them, They're a sub 500 team or 500 at best.
Or they're a 6 seed sneaking into the playoffs. Yeah.
So to me, I gave Aaron Rodgers a lot more credit going into it. I had a sense that maybe the game plan would be different. And at the beginning, I thought it would be, and it was. But San Francisco is just a different animal this year. And they showed that all season long, right? They lost to Seattle and then they beat Seattle. They barely lost to Baltimore. They beat New Orleans and New Orleans. They were a different animal this year. And Green Bay as a team probably overachieved what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, it's a challenge now to go build up around him because you realize that Rodgers doesn't necessarily have that Mahomes trait like he used to. And your point on that is valid. This happens. It's age. And Tom Brady's going through the same thing right now. Tom Brady doesn't strike the fear. Go look at his numbers last year in the Super Bowl. The guy didn't do squat. How did they win that game?
Field goals and defense.
13-3
was the final?
He makes one play at the end. Goff throws a bad pick, and they find a way to win the game in a low-scoring one. Like when you get a quarterback that's at this stage in his career, the onus is on management and the front office to build up around him to take the pressure off of him because Mahomes doesn't need that right now. He can run around and do everything by himself, but eventually you get past that point as an NFL quarterback, and that should be the lesson for Green Bay. I thought they got off to a good start in terms of building the defense. The Smith guys, Preston and Zadarius, they signed this last. They both have big years, the only combo in the NFL with 12-plus sacks, but clearly there's more that needs to be done because when you get bullied that way up front, and the lesson is the same for Minnesota as well. Minnesota had a decent year this year. Couldn't necessarily win the big game, but they went in. They knocked off New Orleans, a 13-3 team. They got obliterated up front by San Francisco, and it's a reminder. Like, hey, if you can't stack up there, and if you don't have a Patrick Mahomes at quarterback or a Russell Wilson at quarterback, man, I'm not going to give you much of a chance to win that game.
Well, Patrick Mahomes to me is Aaron Rodgers was, but with a better attitude.
Sure, more likable Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, because all the reports from McCarthy stuff, I think we got to be honest about that. It sounds like he was also a headache to deal with.
Sure.
In that
he had
locker
a quote
room.
Yesterday even, too, kind of throwing McCarthy under the bus. He said he'll always remember this season fondly because he had fun playing football again.
Sure, and those are the moments, right? Like, the difference for me is Patrick Mahomes has shown no tendency to be that kind of person so far.
He's always, yeah, yeah.
I know he's young.
Sure. He's had an easier path into the NFL. Didn't have to deal with the Brett Favre shadow of retiring, unretiring.
Right.
Like, that was a weird start to a career.
It's a weird start, but then they ended up getting a Super Bowl together.
They did.
I just think when you win a championship with somebody, you tend not to get to a point where you're throwing them under the bus or being talking about with these subliminal messages. Look at New England. All the reports that come out about Brady and Belichick, and we haven't seen it officially crumble yet. They may come back together next year and be a playoff team. We don't know. But they've gone 20 years with this, of somebody getting more credit than the other. They didn't allow the ego to get in the way. Aaron Rodgers sometimes is his own worst enemy. And I fair or not, I think he's had some seasons where maybe they could have or should have won a Super Bowl looking at 2013.
Hey, he came close, man, yeah.
And I just think there's something to the attitude that hasn't helped him. And so far, I know it's different, but Patrick Mahomes, in terms of watching him play, he reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. That was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, running around, extending plays.
Running around, making throws that you could never imagine someone doing, and he does it with ease.
Yeah.
That's the difference right now.
It was an interesting feeling yesterday just watching that, not knowing Rodgers is clearly on the decline of his career. We'll see if they can build up the roster a little bit better around him. You're never guaranteed to get back to that. You know, Breeze got there last year and lost in controversial fashion to the Rams. Everybody kind of assumed New Orleans would be back in the dance this year. They lose their opening playoff game to Minnesota. Nobody saw that coming. And who knows? I mean, you just never know with some of these guys. And you're talking about, you know, guys who are going to go into the Hall of Fame that are some of the all-time greats, and Rodgers, and Breeze, and Brady.
You're nitpicking the 1% of the 1%.
You are,
when
right.
You really break it
only
down
only
that
one
way.
Ring. Yeah, right. I did see this to counteract the stat that my bookie tweeted out that I just chuckled at. You want to know, here are Aaron Rodgers' 8 playoff losses.
Yeah.
This one kind of blew me away.
Okay.
8 playoff losses. Here's how the game went. And not entirely, but just a bullet point from it. And defense gave up 45 points, 37 points, 45 points, 44 points, 37 points. So that's 5 of them. And then in the other 3 that he lost, he led a game-tying drive, never got the ball again. Led a game-tying drive, never got the ball again. Led a game-tying drive, never got the ball again.
Yeah.
Those are his 8 playoff losses.
His career, man, he's got a lot of heartbreaking in there.
Yeah, they've come close. That 15-1 year, they lost to the Giants in the divisional round at home, and then the NFC title game. Not so much this year. They were clearly overmatched. I think a lot of us expected that on Sunday. The Seattle NFC title game, when they built a 14, whatever it was, lead, and then they just collapsed. Seattle fakes the kick. They get the onside kick. Everything unraveled on them. He came close.
They're close. They're just missing a couple pieces, and I don't know who they are, but you go get those couple pieces this summer, and Green Bay's going to be right back in the thick of this conversation.
Better hurry up, because that window is closing for Aaron Rodgers. We've got some poll questions to answer. Also, Rob Lowe, fan of the NFL. Close up there next on The Fam. Hey, Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. Hanging out with you on a Monday. Happy MLK Day, everybody. Hope if you had the day off work, you enjoyed it. Blazers in action tonight, taking on Golden State. Get to that coming up in a moment. What would we make of Rob Lowe's NFL hat yesterday? I think he's on Team NFL. He's a big fan of the league.
He looked like an undercover referee.
He totally did.
Maybe he's a fan of the officials.
Just a fan of the officials.
No, he was going out there with no hat, and they're like, Rob, it's a TV hit. We need you to wear some gear. And he's like, I got none.
How does he not? Yeah, that...
He didn't want to be there, man. They have these planned things, and they ran his fireman show after the game. Did you watch it?
I did not watch his fireman show.
I watched the first 10 minutes. Rob Lowe's not on Parks and Rec. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, not in on that anymore. Bad grade, huh? Well, there was a TV debut last night that was awesome. Curb Your Enthusiasm debuted last night.
Oh.
And it was phenomenal.
So I actually did not like it in the beginning.
Okay.
Here's my thing. I'm going to cancel HBO.
Yeah, you want out of HBO.
I like HBO. They produce a lot of great content. I don't find $15 a month to really be worth it. But anyways, I'm watching the first episode, and the first 10 minutes, I'm like, this is just every other episode. It's just him going to a party with Jeff Garland's wife, yelling at each other about what's acceptable and what's not.
Yeah, bitching about something.
It's kind of the same thing to me. Right. And I was
not
like,
Happy
okay.
New Year, it's too late.
Ha ha ha, Happy New Year, it's too late. Well, that's not a real thing. And then when they got to the MAGA hat is when it changed for me. And I was all the way in, and Larry David did an exceptional job with that episode.
It was like, yeah, it was. I've been waiting for that show to come back. It's one of my favorites. And last night was pretty fun. It's going to be an awesome season. He tied in somehow like Trump, the Me Too movement, and like cancel culture.
He did it all
into the debut, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So go watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's officially back. And are you going to wait for the end of the season before you cancel now?
I don't know.
You got to find illegal ways to win.
I lost my stream.
What do you mean?
PlayStation View got canceled today. It stopped.
Yeah.
I don't have anything. Yeah, I can't watch.
What? They made that announcement several months
ago. Yeah, they did that in October.
Why aren't they doing it anymore?
They don't think it's worth it.
Didn't get enough subscribers.
Wow, so you just have no cable.
I have
no
TV. I have an antenna that I can hook up today.
You get 2, 8, and 4.
But right now, I don't think I have the Blazer game.
Oh, yeah.
And I might get Sling, and I don't know if it's blue or orange. One of them I think has Comcast. So
you're going to be a slinger?
Yeah, because you can say $25 if you only get one of them. I got the antenna for local channels, so I don't need to worry about that.
You would sling.
I would sling. I'm a slinger. Got a stretch for you, Sling.
How about that? I didn't even realize that. So they're out of the TV biz, huh?
And it does suck because they were a great provider.
Yeah, they had a lot of the sports things, didn't they?
They had the most sports channels in one spot.
Only thing you didn't have with them was the Pac-12 network, which as a Beaver fan can suck, but go to a bar or a buddy's house.
Somebody texting in, go Hulu with live sports.
I had Hulu. I liked Hulu a lot, but Hulu is the same price. I'm looking at cutting
money. They got holes in the sports programming.
Hulu, they have live sports, though.
It's not comprehensive.
Get that money. Get that money.
It's not comprehensive, huh? Are you telling me that's false advertising, Jason Swigart?
All of them are false advertising because none of them are comprehensive.
Okay, fair enough.
When an NBC's like, hey, we're making a streaming now. You should get us for $6. And I'm like,
somebody's got to figure this out and bundle them together, man.
Yeah, because it's just turning back into the cable bill. You're not saving money.
Right, you're going to end up buying all the channels you want. Like that, we've always wanted a la carte cable. That's the dream. You just pick and choose the channels you want, but it was supposed to be cost effective. Well, and if everyone's going to cost you $5 to $10, I mean, how many channels can you pick before you get back to what your cable bill was?
And I also think Comcast is not only picking up the stream problem, I think Comcast is slowing my internet down. Because they're like, hey, I got this bundle for you for $2 more. You can have this, this, and that. And I'm like, I only want that.
That's a Curb episode.
It does feel like a curve when I talk about that.
They're purposely slowing down your internet because you're not a cable bro anymore.
I'm putting the antenna in my bedroom because my Wi-Fi doesn't work as strongly in my bedroom
anymore.
Oh,
they're going to sense that antenna. Oh, you're doomed, man. You are doomed. Look for your emails tomorrow. Okay, let's rattle through the poll questions quickly. Aaron Rodgers, will he reach into the Super Bowl before he retires? Yay or nay?
Will he reach the Super Bowl?
Reach another Super Bowl before he retires.
I'll say nay. Unfortunately.
Okay. I'll say no. I think he's going to retire sooner than later.
Okay. The unique part about him in Green Bay, too, is where do you go in that division? Minnesota's got one more year left to Kirk Cousins, which I think most would say for nearly $30 million
has been underwhelming. The Bears are a legit quarterback away from
But that's
being
the toughest piece
good.
To find of any piece, is it not?
Yeah, even if Trubisky leaves, what are they doing? Is it a draft? Is it a trade?
You get like Mariota? Like, where the hell are you going to go? You know? So that, like, right? And Detroit.
They'll Detroit it.
They're 7-9.
They're
8-8.
The Lions.
It's Detroit. So
they're
that's
our Thanksgiving team. You know what I mean?
Right, with their old unis.
They're the uncle you like talking to at Thanksgiving, but you know his life is such a mess that you don't actually hang out with him outside of Thanksgiving.
Right, it's just fun to see him every year. Like, Detroit. There you are. It's good to see you.
Silver and blue, Motor City. Let's go.
Oh, you're going to the bar tonight, huh? All right, sounds good. Yeah, that's the unique thing, though, about Green Bay. I also answer no, but they got a path in the division at least.
Absolutely.
Over the next two
They're
years.
Not out of it. I'm leaning no, yeah. But again, I think they might be two pieces away from getting right back to the NFC title game, and anything goes at that point.
85% of you answered no. The other one is, what do you make of the Portland trade over the weekend? Smart deal, bad move, meh, or don't care?
Meh.
Don't care at this point.
42% said meh. 32% said smart move. 21% of you say you don't care.
Swag hasn't cared since like November.
Swag hasn't cared, I think, since before the year started.
I hadn't left to Vietnam yet, and he'd already declared him done watching any games.
He was done. He was out.
Which have you lied about?
You've caught a couple.
Only where I couldn't avoid it. Like, it's on at the bowling alley when there's games, so they don't give
where
me the remote.
I couldn't
there.
Avoid it.
Yeah, and you gotta put your blinders on. Come bring like a low brim hat in so you don't have to watch it.
Man.
Tim Tebow got married this weekend. Do you buy that he was a virgin until his wedding night?
No.
I actually do.
You do?
I hope he did for his personal reasons.
I think so.
You buy him, you believe in it?
But I know a lot of great Christians that have been taken down by women.
57% of you say no. And then last but not least, the early results are in.
Yes.
The Iowa caucus, that is our Super Bowl poll. Who you got? 54% of people going Kansas City. Now, we're both in Niner camp picking the Niners. Swag, you haven't said yet. Where's your early leanings?
My early lean is to Kansas City.
Kansas City, okay.
Is it just Patrick Mahomes out of curiosity?
No, I think all those defensive numbers you're hearing about are their entire season, and that defense retooled was significantly better down the stretch. Now they got their work cut out for them, don't get me wrong.
I just can't wait, man. It's going to be so fun.
Plus, you're going to have Jones with 2 weeks to get more time to heal. You'll have Suggs, who gets 2 weeks off to be more effective. And I just like Andy Reid with 2 weeks to design all sorts of stuff to combat the 49ers defense.
It is going to be fun. I can't wait.
It's going to be a big I told you so Super Bowl, I think, on the Monday after.
Yeah, the Monday in reaction.
Chief fan is going to let us know, hey, remember 2 weeks ago?
Remember, you idiots.
Niner fans going to be like, never a doubt.
Already placed my bet. I'm in, baby. Locked and loaded. It's going to be a fun 2 weeks. Thanks for being part of our Monday. If you missed it, Let's Drop Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Dirt and Sprague at 1080thefan. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.